Thursday, March 5th. The lesson from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord God, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like tamarack in the desert, and he shall not see when good shall come. But he shall dwell in dryness in the desert, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed be the man that trusteth in the Lord, and the Lord shall be his confidence. And he shall be as a tree that is planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots towards moisture. And it shall not fear when the heat cometh, and the leaf thereof shall be green. And in the time of drought it shall not be solicitous, neither shall it cease at time to bring forth fruit. The heart is perverse above all things, and unsearchable. Who can know it? I am the Lord who search the heart, and prove the reins, who give to one according to his way, and according to the fruit of his devices, saith the Lord Almighty. Haydock Commentary. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Zedekiah had formed alliances with several princes instead of turning to the Lord. Our chief dependence must be on God, not on human policy. God alone can search the heart by his own power. He enables saints to do it by the light of glory or of prophecy. Elisha and St. Peter knew secret transactions of the heart. The Gospel from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and feasted sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who lay at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be filled with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and no one did give him. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried in hell. And lifting up his eyes when he was in torments, he saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said to him, Son, remember that thou didst receive good things in thy lifetime, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is fixed a great chaos, so that they who would pass from hence to you cannot, nor from hence come hither. And he said, Then, Father, I beseech thee that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will do penance. And he said to him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe if one rise again from the dead. Haydock Commentary. By this history of the rich man and Lazarus, he declares that those who are placed in affluent circumstances draw upon themselves a sentence of condemnation if, seeing their neighbor in want, they neglect to succor him. So says St. Cyril. He that hath the substance of this world, and shall see his brother in need, and shut up his bowels against him, how doth the charity of God abide in him? 1 John 3:17. A received tradition of the Jews informs us that this Lazarus was a beggar, then at Jerusalem, suffering in the most wretched condition of poverty and infirmity. Him our Savior introduces to manifest more plainly the truth of what he had been saying. By this we are not to understand that all poverty is holy, and the possession of riches criminal. But as luxury is the disgrace of riches, so holiness of life is the ornament of poverty. So says St. Ambrose. A man may be reserved and modest in the midst of riches and honors, as he may be proud and avaricious in the obscurity of a poor and wretched life. Several interpreters have looked upon this as a true history, but what is said of the rich man seeing Lazarus, and of his tongue and of his finger, cannot be literal, souls having no such parts. In this parable, which St. Ambrose takes to be a real fact, we have the name of the poor mendicant, but our Lord suppresses the name of the rich man to signify that his name is blotted out from the book of life. Besides, the rich man tells Abraham that he has five brothers who were probably still living. Wherefore, to save their honor, our Lord named not their reprobated brother. Abraham's bosom is the place of rest where the souls of the saints resided until Christ had opened heaven by his death. It was an ancient tradition of the Jews that the souls of the just were conducted by angels into paradise. The bosom of Abraham, the common father of all the faithful, was the place where the souls of the saints and departed patriarchs waited the arrival of their deliverer. It was thither that Jesus went after his death, as it is said in the Creed, "He descended into hell," to deliver those who were detained there, and who might at Christ's ascension enter into heaven. Between us and you is fixed a great chaos, or gulf. That is, God's justice has decreed that the bad should forever be separated from the good. We may here take notice that the Latin and Greek word translated hell, even in the Protestant translation, cannot signify only the grave. In this parable we are taught an important truth, namely that we must not expect to learn our duty from the dead returning to life, nor by any other extraordinary or miraculous means, but from the revelation of truths which have already been made known to us in the Scriptures, and from those to whom the tradition of the Church has been committed as a most sacred deposit. We think that if we saw a man raised from the dead, who should tell us what he had seen and suffered in another world, it would make more impression upon us than past miracles, which we hear of, or the promises and threats of the prophets, apostles, and our blessed Savior, which are contained in Scripture. But it is a false notion, a vain excuse. The wicked and unbelievers would even in that case find pretexts and objections for not believing. So says St. John Chrysostom. They would say that the dead man was a phantom, that his resurrection was not real, his assertions nugatory. When Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, the miracle was known, evident, and public. Yet we find none of the Pharisees converted by it. They were even so mad as to enter into a design to kill Lazarus, to get rid of a witness who deposed against their incredulity. How many other miracles did he not perform in their sight, which they attributed to the prince of darkness or to magic? Christ raised himself from the dead. This fact was attested by many unexceptionable witnesses. And what do the hardened Jews do? They object that his disciples, stealing away the body, maliciously persuaded the people that he had risen again. Such is the corruption of the human heart that when once delivered up to any passion, nothing can move it. Every day we see or hear of malefactors publicly executed, yet their example has no effect on the survivors, nor does it prevent the commission of fresh crimes. We may learn many very instructive lessons from this affecting history of Lazarus. The rich may learn the dreadful consequences to be apprehended from riches when made subservient to sensuality, luxury, and ambition. The poor may learn to make their poverty and sufferings, however grievous to nature, instrumental to their future happiness by bearing them with patience and resignation to the will of heaven. The rich are taught that to expose a man to eternal misery, nothing more is required than to enjoy all the good things of this world according to their own will. The poor, that however they may be despised and rejected of men, they may still have courage, knowing that the short day of this fleeting life, with all its apparent evils, will soon be over, and that the day of eternity is fast approaching, when everyone shall receive according as he has done good or evil in his body.